too. Whenever it is, it is. But everybody's all right. Anita and the family and all the extended family, everybody's been safe?
Everyone's good. We've been laying low. I've just been really lucky to have Alice, who's such a trooper on the road. You know, she's holding down the fort at Keeneland and dealing with all the Churchill shippers. And, you know, it's such a team effort. I know we all say that as trainers, but I'm just very fortunate to have her.
Graham Motion, everybody, follow Graham on Twitter and the Herring Swell team. Graham, continued success. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Always. Graham Motion, everybody. And there's so many to talk to, but I'm glad we actually found Tariga there and as well as Majestic Reason. And, that was a topic that we brought up during, you know, the early part of, you know, of the slowdown was how many mares are going to either not necessarily be prematurely retired, because I mean Majestic Reason I think was maybe six, and it was six, and Tariga was five. Although a Southern Hemisphere, five, and owned by Kiyoshi Mikawa, that's why I asked about whether Tariga would stay in North America or head out, and she was okay. She had knocked heads with her own stablemate, actually, Mean Mary. Mean Mary, a filly that we've had fun talking to Graham about. And so we'll look for her. We're going to stay right here. And Peter Rotundo Jr. is somewhere in upstate New York. And I'm so intrigued when Pete said, I'm going to be traveling and I'll find a good spot. Peter, good morning.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Excellent. How are you doing? How's everybody all right? Dad and
everybody's good.
Family and
yes, thanks for asking. Yeah. We're all doing our part, hanging in there. And I was up in Old Forge, New York.
You're kidding.
Sort of camping out in a sense. And I'm on my way back to Saratoga. I pulled off at a town called North Creek. I don't know where I am, to be honest with you. But I know I have a signal.
The reason I'm laughing, Old Forge is famous on weather maps as very frequently one of the coldest spots, not just in the state, but Old Forge very frequently, other than like Alaska, it will be frequently one of the coldest spots in the country during the winter. So
it was beautiful this weekend, that's for sure. Yeah, it was nice. I mean, it's, you know, when it gets warm, but it's very nice. I can't complain. I was outside most of the time and worked on my computer. It's all good. But headed back home to Saratoga to get going for today. Got a big a lot of action.
Well, and one of the reasons I mentioned right at the beginning of the show that I wanted to get a Breeders' Cup conversation in, because it's the start of the domestic season for the Win and Your Ins, and the Shoemaker gets us started.
Yeah, we'll be announcing the whole schedule likely in a couple of days. We're just, you know, obviously with all the changes, we're just making sure, you know, working with all the racetracks and when they're going to schedule all the stakes, but we're starting today with Santa Anita, the Shoemaker. It'll be on TVG on NBCSN. So obviously, if you watch TVG, you can watch it. But then NBCSN coverage starts at 6 p.m. and sort of our quote show with TVG producing starts at 7. So it's been interesting, and it's been actually a breath of fresh air, in a sense, working with all these networks to try to get racing on the air. So, but we'll get going today.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned the announcement of the schedule. How, you know, how has the refashioned seasons across the venue spectrum, how has it affected the planning and what Dora Delgado and you and the team are working with Drew Fleming, et cetera? Talk about what, you know, what kind of hand you guys were dealt.
Yeah, well, Dora and her team, you know, were in daily contact with all the racetracks, trying to, you know, make sure everyone was communicating when they were putting out this big schedule. So, you know, we're not too much on top of each other. Obviously, with Keeneland, you know, not running in April and now running in July, there's just so many big races out there, but we're just trying to be helpful in that sense. As far as the challenge, you know, if you're working backwards, you know, the September races in October, they're all, you know, I would say in place and they're not going anywhere. But we had a couple of changes. Like, for example, July 4th, we normally would have the Nayrud in the sprint division. That's not going to be run this year. So now, you know, they moved the Met Mile to that day. So, I mean, what a big day on July 4th again. Well, they've had the, you know, on July 4th itself, because it happened to fall on a Saturday with the Met Mile and the Suburban. So it's going to be a big day. So we'll be on, we'll have an NBC show that day on the big network. From Belmont. So it's all, as a racing fan, you know, we struggled obviously to get through these couple of months. Thankfully for Oaklawn and Gulfstream and Tampa for keeping us going. But now all the big races are all, I mean, every weekend is going to be must-see TV for the rest of the, through the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, I think it's, in that sense, we're getting lucky.
I can't argue. And between what'll be, you know, the increased, I suppose, truncated and increased intensity of the classic season, you know, not even we already had one, obviously, with the Matt Wynn on Saturday. But, you know, looking forward a week from Saturday to the Santa Anita Derby, 2 weeks later, you know, the Belmont, in this fascinating format. And from that point, there's going to be, you know, a Derby point race event nearly every single weekend, and including a Wednesday with the Indiana Derby and the Indiana Oaks. And then you start folding in, as you're referencing, the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series. We may have lost 2 months, Peter, but it is going to result in this concentration. And I'll admit it's been hard even to adjust to the added venues that we've got right now with just like 8 or 9 running compared to, you know, what we were dealing with. So people better get ready between the end of this week. We're going to add Mountaineer. And, in fact, today, Assiniboia opens, and then next week you got Belterra, Thistledown, Fort Erie, and then Belmont. So we'll be back up to, you know, 14, 15 venues by the end of next week.
Yeah, and I feel like, obviously, the difference is most of us, well, virtually all of us, aren't traveling, right? So we're at home. And it's coming fast and furious. Like, if you're on the road and you're moving around, you know, I feel like it's a bit of a different experience. To be home and just and absorbing it all, there's a lot going on now. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's fantastic. I was, you know, working with NBC on and TVG on a couple of these things. We're just doing, if you want to run through the schedule, June 6th on NBC, they're going to re-air the Belmont Stakes from 2015 on the big network, right? And then June 13th, we're going to have a two-hour window on NBC, the big network, where they're going to show the 2015 Breeders' Cup from Keeneland, you know, Farrow's Grand Slam run there for a two-hour window. And then the next week, then you got the Belmont on NBC, the big network. Then we're working, trying to get on the Stephen Foster win, lose, or draw. That'll be on national TV as well. Then the following week will be July 4th on NBC. Then July 11th weekend, you have Keeneland's opening. We're trying to figure out if we could get that on NBC or NBCSN that weekend for their weekend. And then the Haskell, July 18th on NBC. So, I mean, that's just network television from virtually 6 weeks in a row. unheard of, in these recent times. So we're taking advantage as best we can. And then, of course, as you know, Naira with the Fox shows, it's everywhere, you know. I think it's a good thing.
We gotta keep the finger on the pulse of you know, handle numbers too, and try to figure out if there is, you know, if there are people being drawn into the game, and certainly the exposure has been there. Let me ask about one other aspect too, Peter, because certainly, you know, anybody that follows the contest circuit of any ilk, quite familiar with, you know, what a terrific player, you know, you are, and your circle. The BCBC activities have been, you know, kind of going along online. Any wrinkles there to report?
Yeah, well, our friends, you know, Pete Fornital and Jonathan Kinchin and with Matt Bernier have been hosting this Horse Players Happy Hour on our Breeders' Cup social feed every Friday. Yeah, and for charity, we're raising money for TRF and TAA. Basically, the net, you know, takeout goes to them. So up to, I think, over $3,000 in donations just by people playing. But then, of course, those are usually feeders that turn into the real tournaments on the weekend. And yeah, we're way above where we were a year ago on BCBC qualifier. So I mean, you know, everyone seems to, you know, be enjoying those, especially now at horseplayers.com, because that's the only spot right now you could go. Usually there's on-site qualifiers where you can win places, but right now it's been going great. I mean, the engagement on those shows has been really something to look at, which is good. It was like a test to see, well, let's just see how this works, and everyone seems to like it, and we're going to keep doing it as long as they're up for it. And it's nice because it's like you sit. The way I do it is I have, I either got TVG or NBC on or my friends at Fox there. And then, you know, on the computer, you got your pull up the boys on our social channel. And you're flooded with good info. I mean, you know, if you're listening carefully, not only for the tournament, you can make a few dollars just listening for these little tidbits that are out there.
Well, sure. I mean, that's, you know, and that's a point we drive home as often as possible, that, the contest play goes, you know, well beyond, you know, just the tallies and just the totals and the money. For people that are doing the handicapping work, they're going to bet into the pools as well. And
exactly. That's the whole point. If you do the homework, you're not only putting in your tourney pick. You know, you're betting it for real, and then you know you see how you're doing the touring, then you can hedge a bit. It's like it's the added action, and you know, as a horse player sitting at home, especially now, all day, every day, just looking for any and all action you can get.
You know, speaking of online entertainment and engagement, Peter, we should also mention the cocktails and conversation sequence that materialized with with Brittany Urton and with Nick Luck, which, you know, it kind of seemed to be an impromptu concept that really took root and has had a fun series of visits with, terrific, engaging guests each week.
Thank you. Yeah, that was normally on the social side in March and April, you know, we're sort of prepping for the challenge. We're sharing old memories. We're not really that active, as you might imagine, with Breeders Cup in November.
Sure.
Before the challenge kicks in June, when then we have 6 months of nonstop. But once everything sort of slowed down, we're like, well, what could we do? And there's a guy named Herb Carlitz. He runs a Carlitz agency in New York that does our food events, our Taste of the World, and anytime we have guest chef program at Breeders' Cup every year. And we had a conversation, we're checking in, and he's like, yeah, we're doing these virtual, you know, dinners and stuff with various clients, big chefs, because he works with them all. And so we discussed the phone, I was like, well, maybe we should do something like that, you know. And we had these official cocktails last year for the first time, you know, that we created with the mixologist from the 21 Club, the nicest guy in the world, Mark Tuberty. And I was like, well, I want to make some drinks and have some guests. And Nick, you know, I was like, Nick, can you stay up late in England to do this? And he's like, of course, I'm in. And then Brittany's like, oh, I'm definitely in. So that was it. And then we just started rolling with it. And it's funny to get some, like, incoming, you know, people, like, texting us saying, oh, do you think maybe I could jump on the show one day or whatever. So it's been fun, and they seem to enjoy it. And we raise money for charity, too. So, you know, we send money to the racetrack Chaplaincy of America, and then also some of the, you know, the hospitality industry of these, you know, obviously working with Mark and his group. So it's been going, you know, going great. It's but I, you know, we started off as a distraction, right? You know, has now become like the comments are fantastic on there. People loving it. So we hope to keep it going. I mean, there's no reason, you know, we want to keep it going as long as everybody's up for it. We'll keep rolling with it.
That's tremendous, and it's been well received. And you mentioned the, you know, the fundraising side of it, and as always, the, you know, industry participants of all kinds, players, fans, stakeholders have answered every call locally at their individual racetracks, and then on a wider basis. COVID relief and the other elements that are involved in those charities and retirement as well, which on Fridays is, you know, is part of the activity. Well, Peter, I wanted to make sure we had a chance to make sure people were aware that later this afternoon, NBC Sports Network, and give us the time again, because I saw two different times, and then I saw the race was going off.
Right. I'm trying to take care of everybody. So the coverage starts at 6 p.m. on NBCSN. The race itself is 7:30 Eastern. And obviously 6 p.m. Eastern, it starts the coverage. The race itself is 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Basically, turn on NBCSN at 6 p.m. and watch the last few from Santa Anita, and obviously with TVG doing the production, which has been great. So, yeah, that's basically the tune-in message for today.
Outstanding. Well, Peter, safe travels, and we will get ready. The full Winning You're In Breeders' Cup Challenge Series. There's been a handful of international winners already, people already clamoring for Almond Eye to get her here. We'll leave that to Dora and her team to round up the international runners for Keeneland this fall. Peter, thanks so much. Talk soon.
All right, Steve. Thanks again.
Not at all. Peter Rotundo Jr., everybody, and the Challenge Series underway today domestically. You can follow Peter on Twitter, Retro411. And we'll stay right here, close out the morning with a visit from Doug O'Neill, who I've been kind of pestering. And when things were uncertain as to getting racing back going, Doug was laying low. He said, let's just see where things go. But now that it's up and running, firing the shots, and wild man Jack with a terrific effort, a career best. And boy, this horse continues to impress. Doug, good morning. Congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
I've been looking forward to it. You know, we were tracking things, and you know, you were, as always, you know, ever since things sort of began to, you know, turn into a struggle last year, you've been just, you know, so instrumental in trying to keep people's spirits up and to, you know, initiate counter demonstrations in support of the game. And, you know, then you've also got a barn to run. You sent that string to Dubai, which ended up being a very successful experiment. We haven't had a chance to talk about that. Now things back here, trying to, you know, find a rhythm and a comfort zone for everybody to operate. Talk a little bit about the experience of the last several months.
Yeah, it's been a real roller coaster, I think, for the whole world, right? You know, this whole COVID has affected everybody. And but, you know, selfishly for us here in Southern California and in the horse racing world, got to give a shout out to Aiden Butler and Belinda Stronach for really stepping up and coming up with, you know, a game plan with the LA County Health Department. And it took a while, but eventually they got it done, and their persistence and really was a godsend. And it's just good to be back racing. It is weird not having any owners, though when your horses run bad, it's a little nice not having somebody upset at you right away. You can at least wait for a phone call. But no, I'm just kidding there. But it is strange. It's like a ghost town. But you know, once the horses come on the track, you're just zeroed in on your equine athlete and your jockey, and hoping they you know, have a nice safe trip and come home first. So from that standpoint, it's been awesome to get back going.
The cancellation of the Dubai World Cup, there really hasn't been much discussion because issues, obviously, you know, that everybody was dealing with. But it there had to be at least a little bit of a wincing frustration for you and the team after having really executed a successful game plan, you know, bringing a string there and seemingly poised for success on the big night.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really, you know, I got to give a shout out to Paul and Zilla Redham because they really pushed for that plan. And then Leandro Mora, my main guy, and six other team members were kind enough to pick up and leave their family and their homes for 3 months and do it. So it was a great experience. And to hear all those team members say they would do it again next year if we get lucky enough and get invited just tells you how well they were treated. And the horses are just so revered, just like they are here as well. It was an incredible experience. And like you say, it was kind of a bummer when they had to cancel the World Cup night because we had a few live ones that night. But it was just great getting everyone home, back home safely. And all the horses really adjusted so quickly, both from here to there and from there back home. So it really went smooth.
Well, and of course, one of the major players in all of this, Wild Man Jack. And I can remember, I forget what horse it was that had won something that you and I were talking, and Wild Man Jack came up, and this is last year, and you had, you know, you had a real good feeling about where he was headed. And, you know, here it is, however many months later, and it's pretty clear. I mean, this is a very serious turf sprinter. And it seems like he can adjust to different kinds of configurations. Talk about the win in the Daytona, and it was a thriller.
It really was. And, you know, credit to Glenn Sorgenstein, who bred Wild Man Jack, and he owns him. And he's got a bunch of nice Golden Fence babies as well. So very excited about the future. And yeah, the Wild Man Jack, it has been a special horse from day one. And again, credit to Glenn for really being patient with him towards the, about this time last year, he was getting ready to run and he's got a little body sore, and we just took our time with him and it's really paid off. And he's the type of horse if you're working by himself and you wanted to go slow, you could put your grandkid on him and he would just crawl around there. And you put him in company and whew, he's a whole different horse. So he's just, I love horses like that are able to turn it on and off. And he's definitely one of them. And, you know, and then Mike Smith, riding him the other day and, about mid race, I was like, "Uh-oh, looks like we might be falling back a little bit. Maybe we're out of horse. It's just these horses aren't machines. Maybe it's just not his day." And man, when he called on Jack, he really gave it to him, and what an exciting finish! And we got really fortunate to be able to weather the inquiry too, because that could have went so many different ways. And so, but yeah, just a cool horse, very versatile. And the one thing he loves to do is he loves to compete and he loves to win. So you got to love those kinds.
You know, how many mares, you mentioned Glenn, how many mares do they have?
I want to say Glenn's got like 10, I think 10 or 12 mares, and he's got his own place there in Paris, Kentucky, along with he's neighbors with Rosecrest Farm, so that Dr. Charles and his wife are very instrumental in all of Glenn's horses and the care, and it's an incredible setup. But it's so cool to have been part of Golden Sense and then to see, you know, his offspring start coming, and they're just as competitive and as great and as unique as he was. So it's just real exciting, and you see, now I'm drawing a blank, not Brad Cox, but he's got a couple really nice Golden Sense older horses, long dirt horses, and
Brett Calhoun.
Brett Calhoun. He's like should be on the cover of the Golden Sense brochure what he's done for him. And, he is really I think the very first crop of Golden Sense is Brett had won in the Kentucky Derby, so that just tells you how special Golden Sense is as a stallion, and man, was he a special racehorse as well.
A couple of other things to touch on here quickly with Wild Man Jack, because then I want to ask you about a couple of horses today coming up. The schedule, I mean, obviously, you know, this is all going to work back from Keeneland, from, you know, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. This is a horse that, you know, has never missed a check, and, you know, now 4-for-8 with a couple of seconds, a third, even when he was fourth in that Yasat Trophy, his first start, and he got beat 3/4 of a length. I mean, this horse has never failed to fire. You're just going to kind of skate along and see how things unfold in terms of opportunities?
Yeah, you know, Glenn is just so patient with his horses. So we've talked numerous times since the win, but still haven't discussed where the next start would be. And just knowing Glenn, I would say somewhere end of June, early July, you know, something like that, spacing wise. So just have to look at the calendar and see, you know, probably early Del Mar, I would assume, if they have something there. So if not, maybe back east somewhere.
Very good. Got about 3-4 minutes, Doug. Let's hit a couple, and let's start with Blitzkrieg, who you're going to run today in the Shoemaker.
Yeah. No, you know, he's been a wonderful addition to the barn. The Arcalians run, and his family claimed him for us, and he's a cool horse. That is a really, obviously, a deep, deep race, but, you know,
yes.
He's just a little bit. But he... you know, other than if you put a line through his dirt races, he brings it every time. And so we're excited to see what happens. We know he's kind of an outsider today, but he's won on the Sandy, of course. He's won at this distance. And I think he's got the class to hang with him.
That's in the Shoemaker, Blitzkrieg, yeah. Drayton Van Dyke aboard. You got a couple of maiden tries in the eighth, Buyer's Remorse with Mario.
Yeah. You know, Paul and Zilla freshened her up after kind of late in the fall there. She just got a little, after the Chandelier and the Enochia, she just kind of got off her feed and just got a little body sore. So kicked her out, gave her plenty of time. Off, she's come back. She's training really, really well. You know, 5.5. I think she's probably more of a 2-turn filly, but I think she's good enough to win today. And there's some nice firsters in there, but I would think her having raced under her belt might give her an edge on some of these firsters.
You've also got one of the first two-year-olds of the year, Doug, and I know Eric will be upset if I don't ask about Laszlovia.
You know, he can really run. Unfortunately, I had to scratch him today. We took him to the gate the other day, and he jumped like a rocket. But the next day, he came out with a little bit of a shin. So typical baby stuff, a little buck shin, not a big deal. But Eric is awesome guy and a great horse owner. And first thing he said, do the right thing. So he's going to go to the farm for about 45 days and get those shins to cool down. But we'll see him probably in the fall.
Yeah, and Doug's also got three allowance tries. Torosay in the first, Howbeit in the sixth, that short field. And 3 a.m., who I thought was pretty interesting in that seventh.
Yeah, no, I think we got some live chances today. So we just got to hope things go our way. And hopefully we'll be sipping on some champagne later on tonight, talking about some wins.
There you go. Doug, best of luck. And you've also got Golden Gate action going later in the week. But we'll just say congratulations again. Wild Man Jack, 104 buyer, biggest performance of the weekend on figures. And the Doug O'Neill Barn in great shape as the Santa Anita season continues. And we'll send you out into the race day on this Memorial Day, and again, honoring the fallen on Memorial Day. And we want to thank everybody that came through today. Doug O'Neill and Peter Rotundo Jr., 6 to 8 o'clock on NBCSN. Graham Motion and Brendan Walsh, Nick Tamaro with the Santa Anita capping action. And, of course, Michael McCarthy earlier and Marcus Hirsch with the Chicagoland situation. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Thanks to Case on the board. We'll talk to you in the morning.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.